Hey, thanks, Kane. 807 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. I'm Dalton Orwig. I'm looking at Kelly Finley, who's giggling across what? Do I have something on my face?
I'm smiling. Oh, no. Okay. Man, I'm happy to
thought
be alive.
Thought I had mustard on my face or something.
No, that would not be a giggle.
You would just let me sit here with the mustard on my face.
No, you know better. I would tell you. No, I'm smiling because I love when we can talk about athletes who are women who are taking care of business on the diamond. We went to our first game this weekend. It was a playoff game. This is for the ASBA softball's inaugural season. Mm-hmm. And we went to the playoff game. The championship game was last night. Outcast beat Mobile USA 3-1.
Wait, who won?
Outcast.
That is awesome.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, but, I love that name.
It was a great season. They play at Satsuma High School there on the field. And first year, and, you know, it was great community involvement. And it's great to see the athletes out there. We took the kids, and they'd never been to a fast pitch game, so they appreciated it. And I didn't realize that they do a lot of slap bunting in softball now. When I was coming through the league of high school softball, yeah, you'd see the occasional slap bunt, but really just an old-fashioned bunt.
Yeah.
Go figure.
But I asked you earlier if you caught any foul balls. Unfortunately, the Finley family not within reach of a foul ball yesterday.
Well, no, we were sitting behind home plate.
Okay.
So, but yeah.
You said there were some dingers, right? You said they were hitting them out of the park.
Yeah, there was we saw, gosh, it was a high-scoring game. They won 12-7, I believe, but three out of the park, so.
That sounds like a fun time.
These women had some power, so I just wanted to give that update because we're super proud of them.
That's very cool. I'm glad you were able to make it out to that game, and I'm glad they were able to finish that game. Another team in town, the Mobile Bay Bears, unable to finish their game yesterday because of the bad weather. I was checking in. I was going to try to make it out to the game, and then I saw the weather moving through.
Right.
And I saw they were delayed because of lightning, and then I think they might have gotten started again, and then the weather completely said, nuh-uh, not today.
And lightning's really plagued this. Lightning and the weather has really plagued this first season, so it's been interesting to have to push the game back. Uh-huh. But like you said, and that's why we spoke to Beth Thomas with Alabama Power earlier this morning, because many of you may have been, you may have experienced outages yesterday, but the good news is everybody is good to go. So says Beth Thomas, more than 2,000 people are back online.
7:06 on Mobile Mornings. We're on FM Talk 106.5. Dalton Orwig and Kelly Finley in with you this morning.
Yeah, you know, we've been talking about the weather from last night. Yesterday afternoon, Dr. Bill has talked to us about, you know, the crunching numbers and what we needed to know. We have Beth Thomas on the phone with us from Alabama Power this morning to talk more about what our families, city and countywide and really statewide, need to know, especially, Beth, if they were impacted by power outages yesterday. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, guys. Thanks so much for having me this morning. I do want to share that we had about 2,000 people across the Mobile area without power last night around 7 p.m. Power was restored to most everyone by midnight, so we did have a lot of people out working to restore power throughout the night last night. It's not unusual to have a lot of storms during this time of the year. People can prepare by being aware, watching the weather. We don't want people to be out when there's lightning. People should be aware and stay away from any power lines that may be on the ground, because we can't always know when those lines are active.
That's such great advice always, and it's okay to repeat it time and time again, because, you know, of course, that can save lives, Beth. A lot of flooding going on. I know we live downtown, and it looked like Noah's Ark.
That is typical in low-lying areas, and we know that water and electricity don't mix well. You make a great point, Kelly. Absolutely. People should turn around, not drown. Don't try to drive through those areas, and certainly stay away when areas are flooded. That's also great advice as well.
You have, you're posting updates on Twitter as quickly as you possibly can to keep everyone in the know, but you also have a 1-800 number from a customer service standpoint to also reporting power outages. How important is that to you to hear directly from the community when it comes to, you know, severe weather impacting our area?
Absolutely. When people see lines that are down or poles that are broken or any kind of dangerous situation, We do welcome them to contact us. They can contact us online or call us at 1-800-888-2726 to report an outage or any dangerous situation.
So just to reiterate, if you're just tuning in, this is Beth Thomas with Alabama Power. So at the peak of the storm, 2,000 customers without power last night?
Yes, around 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. And we did have, as I mentioned, power restored to everyone around midnight. We do want to remind people that our crews are not able to work during dangerous situations. So we have to wait until the weather dies down. So when it's lightning or when winds are high, we can't put our crews out to work during those dangerous situations. So we have to wait until the lightning dies down. We have to wait until winds die down before we can put buckets up in the air.
Right, because those crews have families as well that they want to get home to safely. And before we let you go, Beth, as we get ready for the next storm to hit, because, hey, it's the Gulf Coast, right? This is a great reminder for everyone to make sure that they have their gear ready in case they do lose power, from the candles to the flashlights, items like that. Go ahead and reiterate that for our listeners this morning.
Absolutely. Well, we do know that even though these are small storms that we're facing right now, we are obviously in hurricane season and we're about to hit the height of hurricane season. So hopefully everyone does have some supplies ready and on hand. Hopefully you have some flashlights and batteries, have your battery operated radio, and you have everything ready that you need for this time of the year, because it is important to have all of those supplies on hand, stocked up and ready to go.
Good stuff. Beth Thomas, thank you so much for joining us with Alabama Power. We appreciate the updated information, and you have a safe Monday morning.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. That was our conversation with Beth Thomas from Alabama Power, and it was great to have her on. Give us a little update on those storms that moved through and knocked some power out for at least 2,000 people yesterday. And it's good to have somebody that you can just get on the line, let you know what's going on with them. Somebody else who's not afraid to jump on the line, that'd be our president, Donald Trump, not afraid to talk to anyone, really. But he was tweeting over the weekend, and if you were out of pocket, if you weren't watching the news, well, I'm here, and I'm glad to say that I have your Trump Twitter update. So where should I go, Jeff and Kelly? Should I talk about Trump's tweets towards the media, Trump's tweets about immigration, or Trump's tweets about Robert Mueller? Where should I start
here? I'm going to go with Mueller.
Okay. All right. Well, yesterday, Trump tweeted, "There is no collusion. The Robert Mueller rigged witch hunt, headed now by 17, in parentheses he writes, increased from 13, including an Obama White House lawyer. He continued, headed now by 17 angry Democrats, was started by a fraudulent dossier paid for by crooked Hillary and the DNC. Therefore, the witch hunt is an illegal scam." So that's Trump talking about the rigged Robert Mueller witch hunt.
And I think what's interesting to note, they've pointed out this weekend that this was the first time he's really saying Robert Mueller's name, because usually it's witch hunt this or, you know, investigator, and not naming names, but it's like the heat is in the kitchen right now, and we're hearing more names. We're seeing more different stances from different people as part of the Trump administration. Rudy Giuliani, going off on Michael Cohen over the weekend, calling him some names.
Yeah.
It's just very interesting. And the reason why I picked that as my option is because I think, you know, news-wise, you want to go backward to forward. So getting everybody caught up. And now as we look at the president's, Twitter feed this morning, he says that we must have border security, get rid of chain lottery, catch and release sanctuary cities, go to merit-based immigration, protect ICE and law enforcement, and, of course, keep building much faster the wall. That was 1 hour ago.
And that was a little bit of a follow-up on a tweet from Trump yesterday where he said, "I would be willing to shut down government if the Democrats do not give us the votes for border security, which includes the wall." So he's talking about Mueller, talking about border security, and also Trump tweeting about over the weekend the media. And this was about, a little five-tweet outburst in succession. He says, "When the media, driven insane by their Trump derangement syndrome, reveals internal deliberations of our government, it truly puts the lives of many, not just journalists, at risk. very unpatriotic. Freedom of the press also comes with a responsibility to report the news accurately. 90% of media coverage of my administration is negative, despite the tremendously positive results we are achieving. It's no surprise that confidence in the media is at an all-time low. I will not allow our great country to be sold out by anti-Trump haters in the dying newspaper industry. If you thought he was done there, he wasn't. He said, no matter how much they try to distract and cover it up, our country is making great progress under my leadership, and I will never stop fighting for the American people. As an example, the failing New York Times and the Amazon's Washington Post do nothing but write bad stories, even on very positive achievements, and they will never change. So we'll talk about Trump's outburst over the weekend, and we could take it any way you want. We could take it towards immigration. We could talk about the Russian witch hunt, in President Trump's words, because I believe Manafort's supposed to be on
trial, right?
Trial's supposed to start this week. So we'll do that and a whole lot more on Mobile Mornings. You're listening to FM Talk 106.5. I'm Dalton Norwood. Kelly Finley's in studio. So is Jeff Poor. We'll talk with him coming right back when we get back from the break. Kane, 824 now on FM Talk 106.5. This segment of Mobile Mornings brought to you by our friends at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Trey Bennett and the crew at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Well, they do great work in Mobile and Baldwin counties. If you have a bunch of junk, if you don't know where to take said junk, if you can't physically move the junk, or if it's junk that you're not sure if you're supposed to throw it in the dumpster, if it needs to go somewhere special, well, the crew at 1-800-GOT-JUNK have you covered. And one of the best things about using Trey and the crew is that you make your appointment and they show up right on time. They aren't like some of those companies that give you a 4-hour window of when they may show up and you have to take half of a day off at work and then they might not even show up when they plan to. Well, no, that's not what they do at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. You give them a call, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, or go to the website 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, set up your appointment, and they'll be there exactly when you're expecting them. And the price you get quoted is the price you'll pay. 1-800-GOT-JUNK is locally owned, and as I mentioned earlier, they do great work in both Mobile and Baldwin counties. Everyone I know that's called 1-800-GOT-JUNK have nothing but glowing reviews, including just about everybody here at FM Talk 106.5. So once again, to get a quote and set up an appointment, call 1-800-GOT-JUNK or go to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. The big discussion this week in national politics, I believe, will be about the Paul Manafort trial beginning tomorrow, where they're selecting the jury for one-time campaign chairman for President Trump's campaign, Paul Manafort. He'll be under the microscope this week. Jeff, bring you into the conversation here. What do you think we can expect? I mean, I'm sure the anti-Trumpers will hope that he'll be, you know, indicted by the end of this week, but I'm not sure how much information we'll get from Mueller's investigation as the Manafort trial opens.
One thing I would look at is we finally get to see the Mueller whole Mueller apparatus on display. We finally get to see what, you know, what it's made of. I think the interesting thing about Manafort, he actually has the resources to take on a well-financed Mueller probe, a special counsel probe. So I think probably not the nuts and bolts of it, but we get to see just how serious of the investigation is, how competent it is. A lot of things we haven't really seen so far except through indictments. I think you get to see this on display. Do they have their ducks in a row? Are they going to be able to, you know, effectively prosecute Paul Manafort?
And I guess they'll probably focus more, at least reading this AP story, they're going to focus at least initially on Manafort's work with the Ukraine and whether the things that he had been doing, you know, even before latching on to the Trump campaign, whether Ukraine was in his pockets illegally, you know, paying him off for some of that consulting work. But we might not get any answers this week yet on whether that led to collusion between the Trump team and Russia.
Right. And I, you know, I think the idea was when they came out with these indictments was to try to get him to flip, right? But now they have to pursue them and follow through with them. There's some other things like the tax evasion, I think, and of course, the not registering as a foreign agent, and then, you know, so on and so forth. But I'm not sure that those rise quite to the level of, you know, what the intended purpose of the Mueller probe was, which was to look into 2016 collusion or 2016 interference in the election.
And Trump mentioned it earlier. He was tweeting yesterday about the Robert Mueller investigation, where he said there is no collusion, and he once again called it the Robert Mueller rigged witch hunt, now headed by 17 angry Democrats. And I know CNN and a lot of other national organizations are saying that Trump is angry and lashing out because of the recent leaks from his former lawyer Cohen and Cohen's lawyer Lanny Davis. They feel like Trump has reached a boiling point, I guess, but he's been tweeting about the, quote, rigged witch hunt for months now. Do you think it has reached that boiling point? Do you think Trump has finally just had it, or is he kind of keeping up what he's been doing?
So what I think is going on with that, this is two separate things. I don't think the tweets about the rigged witch hunt have anything to do with the Cohen audio. I think what Trump's trying to do is he's almost trolling, just trolling Robert Mueller. We heard these reports that Mueller, the probe, was looking at Trump's tweets as sort of a possible obstruction of justice. And it looks to me like once that came out, Trump just turns it around and doubles down on it and really just starts showing, well, I'm not going to be bullied by this, you know, this prosecutor. And, you know, I don't know what signal that sends other than it's you know, that he's not going to be fearful of any threats from the Mueller probe, whether they're, you know, just leaked threats generated by the media, or if this is something really that they, a message they really want to send to president.
So kind of marking his territory then.
I think so. And it's always with him, it's always like he takes an extreme position and tries to find that middle ground, I think, is always like the quote-unquote art of the deal. But if you're probably a lawyer and you're looking at this as a criminal proceeding, you would tell him to back off, and he seems to go against conventional wisdom.
So today's press conference with Sarah Sanders should be just like the last few.
Yeah, I mean,
full of explosive back and forths and having to say yay or nay to what we're reading with our eyeballs or hearing on the radio.
Yeah, absolutely. But what is it? What is it not?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's just the same old same. I mean, basically is what I'm saying.
But don't you think at a point, as a news consumer, people just tune this out
of
white noise?
Yes, that's my point. It's like, here we go again.
And what, you know, you and I, we follow this stuff every day. I just, you know, I don't know what this means to the average person.
That's well said, my friend. It's just, if you're for one side, you hear what you want to hear. And if you're against one side, you hear what you want to hear.
And if you're somewhere in the middle, it's all just noise.
Right.
And you're going to go do something else. Who's on The Bachelorette tonight? Or I mean, who cares about any of this? It's just the same thing every day.
And now 99 days until the midterms. So we were wondering when Mueller's investigation would take that next step, when he was actually going to come out with some information they've gained over the last year. Looks like it's going to start rolling out at least this week. And whether that affects midterms in 99 days or not, I guess we'll just have to see.
It's like you're changing the name of that song, 99 Bottles of Beer on the Wall.
Hey, thanks, Kane. 8:37 now on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Right now it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive, talk to sales manager Brian Gardner. Hey, Brian.
Hey, good morning, man.
So I'm looking at the calendar, and it looks like it's almost August, which means it's the end of July, which means there's some good deals at McConnell Automotive today.
Yeah, some fantastic deals. And, you know, we work off a month-to-month basis, so we do have expirations on the deals that I talk about here. And the percent play is what we've had all month of July, and we still have that going on for a couple of days. But hurry up. We've got 18% off Buick Encore right now, also 12% off Buick Enclave. Fantastic deals there. That's easy math, y'all. We get that Encore down to around $20,000. Also have 15% off GMC Sierra as well. That's our bread and butter. We've got one of the largest inventories of Yukon right now on the Gulf Coast. Get by and see us 4/7. You're right, Dalton. These deals will expire in a couple of days, so hurry up.
All right. Thank you, Brian. Have a good one.
All right, guys. See you.
That's Brian Gardner. Go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65. 8:38 now on FM Talk 106.5. We were talking last segment about President Trump's tweets over the weekend and the Paul Manafort trial set to begin in D.C. starting tomorrow when they select the jury. But I saw an interesting story. This is from the New York Post over the weekend, where they say the upcoming midterm elections, which we're now 99 days out from those midterm elections, and they say they're going to be the most expensive in U.S. history. It's kind of like the AAA numbers that come out for every holiday where they say more people than ever will be traveling the roads. Well,
that's why you have to pack your patience, right?
Mm-hmm, and it's probably going to be the same when you're watching TV or listening to the radio the upcoming midterms, because they say so far $1 billion in TV ads have already been booked or aired for this upcoming midterm cycle. They write here, with the Republicans holding narrow majorities in both the Senate and the House, parties are locked in close combat 3 months ahead of Election Day. At least $170 million has been spent on television spots for Senate primaries. The Democrats and the GOP have both reserved $230 million worth of ads in Nevada, where GOP Senator Dean Heller could lose his seat to a Democratic challenger, and also Missouri, where McCaskill, who's a Democrat, Senator McCaskill, she's trying to hold on to constituents who voted for Trump by a 19-point margin back in 2016. Democrats have committed $135 million in ads for their candidates, while the Republicans plan to spend at least $146 million, they write here. So lots of money going into these midterms, Jeff. You surprised at all?
A little. You know, I guess if you're looking at this 2 years ago, you would think that this ought to be a layup for Democrats. But the fact that this is competitive, I think, just makes more money and more money, because the Republicans look at it, well, maybe we have a shot to hold the House.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a foregone conclusion. And that, and the same with the Senate. And so, to me, that just kind of breeds this this fundraising and this money, and it's going to just bombard the airwaves everywhere. I mean, you think about what's happened in Alabama for the primary. Imagine that, you know, times 50. I think that's – and we're going to see it. It probably won't happen in Alabama, given – Alabama's a red state, but mm-hmm. in these other states – I think a lot of places you're going to just see that inundation of that.
Well, let me ask you a question. I'm going to read this tweet and tell me what you think. This is from President Trump. He says, please understand there are consequences when people cross our border illegally, whether they have children or not, and many are just using children for their own sinister purposes. Congress must act on fixing the dumbest and worst immigration laws anywhere in the world. Vote R. So hearing the president obviously encouraging people to vote Republican, do you think the Trump effect will be good and will assist those he wants in office? Or do you think that it'll work negatively against those who are running as Republicans in this upcoming election?
I think at face value, you look at it and you're like, I don't know. I mean, is he toxic? Well, you know, he seems to have a lot of disapproval. But the reality of it, when you watch these ads, and specifically I'm talking about Florida and Alabama, you see these Republicans willing to run along Trump with Trump in their campaign spots. I don't ever remember a time like that.
Neither
I don't remember that with Obama. I don't remember with George W. Bush. I don't remember
H.W. Bush.
Yeah, I can't ever remember where a candidate in a midterm election was willing to run with the sitting president and be in that person. So does that translate into a general election? And I'm not sure, because in a primary, Trump's way up approval-wise.
Right.
Once we get past that phase, what happens? Are you as willing to run alongside Trump as you were in the primary? And to me, also, you would look at the primary and the whole primary process, and without, there's no fear of having to answer that question later on. You know, well, you're such a Trump crony. You know, and this happened in the, in the primary when you were, you know, running with your ads and your picture next to Trump, and now all of a sudden you're not, and they don't seem to be fearing that. So, I would say that I'm. If I'm looking at it, there's something telling these folks to do this, mm-hmm. and they see it in their polling and their focus grouping and all this stuff. So maybe there's something that we don't see at face value, that they really think they could drill down and gin up voter enthusiasm for the midterm elections.
I love getting your insight in real time, because as we know, that the news cycle is changing and turning every 0.2 seconds, it seems. And so just understanding that as we get closer and closer to the next election in any whatever state you're in, because I know we podcast and I know we have friends that listen from all around the country, so it's always interesting to hear what you have to say, especially coming off a weekend where the president, you know, tweets that he would be willing to shut down the government, and how that could impact those who are, you know, touting that they are following his lead when it comes to the choices that they make for their local governments.
And it sounds awful when he says, you know, I'm willing to shut down the government, but it's shut down twice already during Trump's presidency. And I mean, the wall was the main thing that he ran on. How big of a deal is it to him, Jeff? How big of a deal is it to at least show that there has been some progress made prior to these midterms?
Well, that and the last government shutdown, the Democrats kind of got it handed to them. Mm-hmm. They had to come with their tail tucked between their legs. And it may, some reason, it looked like it was Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer's fault, and they took the hit. And we're coming up on a midterm. Why do you think the Democrats are going to want to risk that hit this close to the midterm? So is Trump trying to, like...
I think it's CYA all across the board. I mean, for in this situation where people... It's sad because these people, no matter what your affiliations, you're supposed to be working for your community. And it seems that, it seems like lawmakers are more geared... Let me rephrase that. It seems that there are some people who are more concerned with keeping their jobs as opposed to doing what they were sent to D.C. to do.
Well, they could turn that around and say, by shutting down the government, I am working for the community. I'm getting what? I'm getting that border wall I promised. Right. I'm getting all these things that are making the community better.
Uh-huh.
So they could, you know, whether that's the reality or not, they could use that and they could message it that way.
Yeah, but President Trump, when he was candidate Trump, he said Mexico was going to pay for this
right.
wall. He said as candidate Trump, we're going to make Mexico pay for this wall. Now to go from that to I'm okay with shutting down the government. Let me give you the exact tweet. I would be willing to shut down government if the Democrats do not give us, hold on, doggone it, I don't need an update right now. I'm in the middle of a story. I would be willing to shut down government if the Democrats do not give us the votes for border security, which includes the wall.
And I think if I'm a Democrat lawmaker, I'm going to hammer Trump. What happened to Mexico paying for it? Where is that message, though?
Even if you're not a lawmaker, even if you're just a regular old citizen like us.
Well, you need somebody kind of touting that message. And there's not, to me, the Democrats, Russia, when they could hammer him on this Mexico stuff and probably make some hay out of it. But I don't know. The Democratic Party messaging needs to kind of come to something a little more other than just the Russia stuff.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like there's one clear message that the Democrats are putting out, or at least one thing that they can all go back to, and you'd think they'd at least all try to get on the same page in these next 99 days.
There's a lot of flip-flopping going on both sides,
yeah.
Let's be real.
Right. And another big thing coming up in the Trump presidency, the Kavanaugh confirmation, and our Senator Doug Jones, we've been wondering how he's going to vote on this. He provided some answers finally over the weekend. We'll talk about that when we get back. More Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Shoot us a text or call us. It's the same number, 251-343-0106, 343-0106. It's still 9 here on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. I'm Dalton Orwig, Kelly Finley in studio.
And my friend,
Jeff Poor, who's going to be doing Midday Mobile today. I'm sure you got a great show set up and ready to go at noon, Jeff.
Just pray for me.
Should I start now? I think I can get 3 hours and 10 minutes of prayer in before the show starts at noon.
That'll be a good show.
Well, we know you won't be hurting for subjects to talk about. I mean, come on.
You'd be surprised if you come in with a list of stuff and then, like, halfway through the first segment, you're like, oh, I've already gotten through my list here.
Turn to the Twitter feed.
Right.
There'll be plenty on there.
Well, one thing worth discussing this week, Senator Doug Jones, finally, I think we've been trying to get an answer from him for, well, as long as Brett Kavanaugh was announced as the nominee from President Trump to take over as a Supreme Court justice. But over the weekend, Doug Jones says that he's keeping a, quote, open mind on Brett Kavanaugh, and Jones said that he's not worried about a flurry of advertising pressuring him to confirm or reject the nominee. I know Judicial Crisis Network, one of those groups that's put out a lot of money in states like ours that have have split senators, a Republican and a Democrat, trying to push that confirmation through. Some of those that are in the Trump states that won pretty big during his presidential election, but a lot of money being spent to push Kavanaugh through, and Doug Jones is one of those senators who they really want to vote yes once time comes. I think in November, is that when the plan is for this vote? Or
yeah, at least before the midterms. So
before the midterms, which are 99 days away now. He told reporters on Friday evening, talking about Doug Jones here, that he wants to do his due diligence on Kavanaugh's work. He said, I want to keep an open mind on every aspect of it and look at a number of different things, but that's pretty much what the rest of the Democrats have been saying. Seems like they want to see, and I've read somewhere that it's like over a million pages of writing in Kavanaugh's career. They want to inspect every decision that he's made. Seems like maybe they're trying to push off the vote and using that as their, I guess, strategy.
Well, yeah, and they still have time after the midterms to do it. If they were forced to, I guess Republicans could, because you have a lame duck Congress. You have a little time between the new Congress sworn in January and the midterm elections. But I would say I think it happens, and I think Doug Jones inevitably does vote for Kavanaugh. I think once Republicans get to the vote threshold they need, he won't be the deciding vote, but he's not going to fight a lost cause. And he's, you know, I don't really know that it really matters as much as people make it out to be, whether he mm-hmm. votes for Kavanaugh or not, to the Alabama voters. I mean, I think if you're Republican, you're just not going to vote for Doug Jones because he's a Democrat. Well, that it doesn't really matter what happens, and vice versa. Even if he does vote for Kavanaugh, you're not really, if you're a Democrat, you're not really looking at, you know, well, I might consider Bradley Byrne or Del Marsh or whoever is on the Republican side of that ticket in 2020.
Yeah, when you brought that up, that really made sense to me, because when I was just thinking through it, you know, basic political strategy, that you'd think it would make sense for Jones to just be, yes, I'm going to vote yes because I'm in a heavy red state. They voted heavily for Trump. And if I want to get reelected, if I even want to have a chance, I probably need to vote yes for that confirmation. But he would be upsetting a lot of people who voted for him in order to fight against President Trump.
I mean, he voted for Pompeo. He's voted for some of his nominees. I think the pressure's not really on Doug Jones as much as it is Joe Manchin, on Heidi Heitkamp, some of these Democrats that are up in red states right now. Doug Jones is a couple of years. I don't think Doug Jones is going to vote, going to cast a deciding vote. I don't know. The Judicial Crisis Network sees this as a possible play to get him motivated. I guess if he had to pick four or five swing votes, he would be one of them. But there are some up further up the list, I think, that will be more, you know, that will determine the outcome of this confirmation versus what Doug Jones does.
What do you think he's getting from the Democratic leaders? What do you think he's hearing from Schumer? Are they saying, you know, figure out what's best for you to get right. reelected? Or are they saying, listen, we need you as just a straight no on here?
Well, it's probably more like, do what you got to do, but do what you got to do. In the meantime, we got to fight this. This is kind of like our Alamo in some ways. We got to stand up for this because of the court. This is the swing vote. If it goes one way or another, then that's, you know, that's a generation at least of possible decisions. So we got to at least appear that we're going to fight this tooth and nail. But then when it comes down to it, at the end of the day, you do what you got to do to get elected, what you think you got to do.
But Senator Jones is representing the state of Alabama. He's not just representing Democrats. He's representing what's best for the state, for the citizens. So whether you're a Democrat or Republican, I don't think you should always count on our lawmakers to sway one way or the other. I mean, common sense should prevail. And if this is what's best for the country, then I would assume that our people will do what they are supposed to do.
Well, he's a Democrat, so let's assume running as a Democrat, he thinks that Democrat policies are best for the state of Alabama. He's going to do that, I think. I think it's kind of cooked in. So otherwise, if it was just whatever was politically expedient, then he would have already...
Correct.
He would have ran as a Republican.
Yeah, I understand that, but you would hope that whether you voted for him or not, that he's going to represent what's best for the state. And if you stop terming it as a leaning left or leaning right, but what was best for the state, then he's representing the people who participated in voting.
Right, and he may look at it like, if I vote against him, then there's all these decisions that could come down, and that would be what's best for the state. But I do think... he works for the late Senator Hal Heflin, but when he talks about it, he talks about giving deference to the commander-in-chief and giving deference to him and explaining he has this view that it's more of we're to advise a consent, you know. So I don't know that he's willing to really be the obstructionist that maybe a lot of other Democrats would want him to be.
All right, 8:56 now on FM Talk 106.5. And Kelly?
Yes.
I saw it again this morning. You won't believe it. I saw a blur out the front of the FM Talk 106.5 studios.
Don't get police behind my vehicle.
Well, this is a private property back here, and I did not call the police. But if I did,
you.
I would have been like, I just saw the best looking car I've seen in my life.
Well, you know what's so funny? So I gave the kids the hint. I said, he is big, he is red, and he pounds the pavement. what do you think that I named this vehicle? And they're like, Clifford, of course. Cliff for short. Yeah, I've been driving the 2018 Mazda CX-9, and this vehicle seats 7, 3 rows of seating, and the amenities, I mean, it just hop off the page. Many of you like to hop online, so please do your due diligence and look up Mazda USA and get more about this. But, of course, you have 4-cylinder, you've got the 3 rows, 250 horsepower, rear-view camera, which we used, of course, this weekend because of all that rain. You want to make sure that you're not rolling over, you know, anything behind you. Safety is key. This is the 2018 top safety pick voted by IIHS. Inside, leather's like butter. I mean, the dial, the console, the captain's chair, it's just wonderful. And as we continue to tell you, this is a luxury vehicle minus the luxury tag. So if you're looking to up your game when it comes to your family vehicle or just want more space, this is a great vehicle to check out. Go visit our friends at the all-new D. McCrary Mazda located on the East Service Road of I-65.
All right, thank you very much, Kelly. And this morning, if the news organizations around here are to be believed, Governor Ivey and Mayor Walt Maddox, of course, her gubernatorial candidate, they're supposedly in the same place this morning at a sheriff's conference in Orange Beach. I'm sure there'll be plenty to talk about regarding them being in the same area. No debates. I don't think there will be any debates, but at least they're in the same area.
Well, they did this, Tommy Battle, remember when he was up there on the stage at that ribbon cutting.
And I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about today at noon when Jeff Poor hosts Midday Mobile. Coming up, Laura Ingram Show.